You read the Bible, Rick.
Talking to me?
Come along, Samwise. Keep up.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not Mr. Lebowski. You're Mr. Lebowski. I'm the dude.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, there's past.
So what you want?
Jesus freak.
I got a bad feeling about this.
King Kong ain't got shit on me!
Do I really look like a guy with a plan?
Each and every man under my command owes me 100 natural scouts.
Stuntsy pitches, ain't you?
Oh, wow. Thank you for that.
Hello and welcome to the Film and Loathing Podcast for Sunday, August 29th, 2021. This is episode number 112. I'm Jake.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Zach.
Coming up this week, we have a review of James Gunn's The Suicide Squad. We'll also talk some other stuff that we watched and whatever else comes up along the way. So thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening. How you guys doing this week?
Not bad.
Pretty good, I guess.
Zach celebrated a birthday yesterday, so happy birthday to you, Zach.
Halfway to death. Yeah.
Halfway? You think halfway. This is the halfway point?
Probably pretty close.
50 and out? What do you think will get you?
Motorcycle accident.
Like you riding a motorcycle or like somebody else?
Is it I'm motorcycle? Walking and then a motorcycle just hits me.
Okay, I just wanted to be sure. Didn't know if you were planning on getting a motorcycle at some point.
Nope. No, definitely not. See, I got my first COVID dose, COVID-19 dosage vaccine on Friday.
Which one?
Nice. How'd you feel?
Pfizer.
Nice.
I felt not great yesterday, but it kind of wore off.
Mm-hmm. That seems to be the consensus.
I got my first dose, too.
Is UMaine requiring it?
Yes, they're requiring you to have at least your first dose before you to get on campus.
Hmm. When'd your classes start?
Tomorrow morning.
Ha ha! Good luck.
Yeah, fucking 9 a.m. I don't want to get up in the morning.
Good luck.
I don't even know where I'm going.
I would start by getting to campus.
That's a good idea. I don't have a park pass. I don't have a parking pass, so I'm just going to print off a piece of paper and tape it to my window. Hopefully that works.
I had the year and a half I went to UMaine, I never owned a parking pass.
How did you get away with that?
I just parked.
Like in like guest lots or whatever?
No. I mean, I parked like right outside like the cafeteria mostly in that parking lot, that big one.
How did you get away with that? I don't believe you.
I don't know how I got away with it, but I did.
Did you get a ticket?
I got one once.
That's probably okay. The money that you owe to the school. They're asking you to pay back.
They can ask all they want. I respectfully decline.
Maybe not so respectfully to Glenn.
I would hope like one parking pass has not racked me up in a $900 debt at the university.
I mean, you park there every single day without a pass, so like maybe you did.
Also, have to mention all the late fees that have compounded now.
So it's funny you say that. So this guy that we used to work with, I say we, I've never worked with any of you, but. That I used to work with.
Wait, did you work with Chris at Frank's Bakery?
That's true, I did.
Yeah, I like to forget.
So he
that.
Lived at Amy's, and so like we just like always got his mail, and so like, he ran like an Easy Pass and got a bill for it because you can do that. Like you just run it and they send you a bill. It's usually double like what the actual toll is.
Sure.
And you just pay it. But he didn't pay it, so it just, like, kept compounding late fee after late fee after late fee. And, like, this was probably, like, 9 months after he did it. We got this piece of mail, like, from Easy Pass, and we texted him. We're like, can we just, like, open this and see what it is? And if it's important, we'll give it to you. If not, we'll throw it away. Yeah, sure. It was a bill from Easy Pass that was like, you're at risk of going to collections. And like his $2.50 original charge had compounded to being like $135.
Hey. Oh my fucking gosh. I mean, like, what's the worst that can happen?
If we get sent into collections?
Yeah.
Nothing. They'll call you. No one's coming after you for $135.
No, but I think it can hurt you if you go to renew your license.
Maybe.
Zach's like, should you have anything in collections?
Because I remember when I got my license out here, I was sitting waiting for my turn to be called, and I had like overheard this guy who got called up, and they were like, yeah, sorry, sir. Like, you have 5 outstanding parking tickets. Like, you have to pay those.
Isn't that like through the state or something?
No.
Yeah, I remember like back.
Parking tickets?
For the city, I would imagine.
I remember back when I was driving dad's car, although it was registered to him, and I got a parking ticket in Orono. And like dad got like the letter or whatever, and like I had to pay it because if I didn't, he was at risk of losing his CDL and like would lose his propane license for having like outstanding parking tickets.
Yeah. So I would imagine what happens with an overdue toll bill.
Oh no, I don't have any, so.
No, but this other guy, he's boned.
$135. For $2.50.
That really escalated.
Yep. He had time to pay it.
Did you just not tell him that he had a bill and he just kept throwing his mail away?
He saw the first ones. Like, he knew that he owed the money.
Oh, he just didn't care.
Yeah.
Plus, like, you can't open other people's mail.
This is a guy that buys Pure Leaf sweet tea by the case. Like.
Nice.
What is that supposed to? What type of information am I supposed to pull from that?
Because I'm not making the best life choices, Chris.
Okay.
We at work, we offer a Pure Leaf extra sweet tea, and I've never seen anyone buy it. But the first person that does, I'm going to get their license plate and just track what kind of trash human being they are. You bring extra sweet tea.
Sweet tea is gross to begin with.
It is gross. Everyone goes crazy, like, when McDonald's brings it back. Like, gotta go get that sweet tea. It's fucking gross.
No, like, it's just too much sugar in there.
Drink so Arizona like a real man.
This coming from the guy that eats trolley gummy worms like it's going out of style, but it's too fucking sweet. Like, if there was something to balance it out, you know? Like, majority of flavors have, like, sweet and salty, or, like, sweet and sour, but that is literally just sweet.
Which one's the sweet leaf one? Is it the plastic bottle? Like, long, yeah,
the Pure Leaf tea.
It's a square bottle.
I don't mind the... They have a Fuji apple and ginger one. It's pretty good, but...
Yeah, but don't those come in glass bottles?
Yeah, they do.
I'm a big fan of the Arizona sweet tea. The southern style sweet tea.
I think I'm just a Pepsi guy through and through.
You think so?
If it's not water or coffee, I really don't want to drink anything else.
Pepsi?
Yeah.
So you're when did you kick your Coke?
Since we don't carry it at work.
Oh, I see.
I'm not going to the gas station to get it. Pay full price.
Go to Sam's Club. Buy it by the case.
I'm not paying for it. Okay. It baffles me the amount of people that are willing to pay to buy groceries. Go fuck yourself, Sam's Club.
I love Sam's Club.
What do you mean?
Like, you have to pay $40 a year membership.
The membership fee. To this, to literally have the opportunity to buy groceries.
Yeah, but it's not just groceries. Yeah. Like, they have clothes. You can
eat a bag of dicks, as far as I'm concerned. You can buy, like,
it's like the equivalent of
supplies.
It's like the equivalent of Costco.
I don't shop at Costco either.
You don't have a Costco to shop at.
Well, it doesn't change the fact that I don't shop at it.
Yeah, but you can't by default.
I could buy online.
Can you do Costco online?
Curbside delivery from wherever the nearest Costco is.
I'd like to buy 3 rotisserie chickens. Would you mind shipping them to me? Those are $5, though. Those rotisserie chickens are steals over at Sam's Club.
I really don't even like going to Walmart, so.
Walmart's stupid. Sam's Club is like a nicer Walmart.
They're owned by the same fucking people.
Yeah, that doesn't change my statement.
I honestly, my perfect grocery store, it's the Brewer IGA, because it's 100 feet away.
Sam's Club is like 100 feet across the street from where I work, so I just get gas there. It's like 13 cents cheaper on average.
I get gas at the Big Apple, because it's 50 feet away.
Fucking Big Apple.
In a perfect world, I'd work at Mason's and I would never leave the same, like, 300-yard block. I would live, shop, and work all in this 300-yard square of where I am currently sitting.
Go apply. I was there tonight. Ate dinner there.
At Mason's?
Yeah. I saw your car. I actually saw Autumn walking the dog. But I was with my mom, so I couldn't say anything. It's not like I would have been like, hey, Autumn, come meet my mom, dude.
You should have. Your mom's an angel.
Yeah.
And anybody would be lucky to meet her.
She's all right, I guess.
What'd you get?
I got, they had a thing called the MOP. Grilled MOP, which was like chopped burger with American cheese, jalapeno, hot sauce, some other shit too. But it was on like a long ciabatta.
Like mashed out posse? Annie up?
Annie up. Get that fool. Annie up. Kidnap that fool. This is the first thing I thought of. That was like half the reason I got it, if I have to be honest. Do you ever eat there, or are you too close?
Not, like, that often, honestly. It's too expensive to eat there.
It is.
I'm not made of money.
No?
You pay $15 for a burger, or I can pay $10 and get Chipotle.
Chipotle's way overrated, though.
How does it feel to be wrong?
So, I mean, like, it's literally, like, it's just prepped ingredients. Like, it's not even, like, seasoned any special way. Like, it's literally just,
what the fuck do you think any restaurant ever is? It's prepped ingredients.
Well, that's the thing, though, is that, like, at restaurants, they have something special about it, whereas this is literally just, like, we'll give you regular rice with regular tomato.
It's
not
regular rice. It's a cilantro lime rice.
Oh, no. No. I'm sorry. But I respectfully disagree with you.
Okay, well, you can't say that that's it's regular rice.
It's regular rice, dude.
Uncle Ben's does not come in a cilantro lime flavoring.
Okay, fine. So it's the most basic of food that you can eat.
I will accept that. It's a basic seasoning.
Yeah, and it's boring as shit.
Chris, I've seen you eat Chinese food off the fucking floor.
Oh my fucking God.
I'm not going to buy that you really care about seasoning.
Does that mean that I'm not allowed to
have it? You eat shrimp ramen.
Shrimp ramen is good, though. It was good. It was like freezer dried and shit. So, like, I just had to pour hot water on it. And it was good to go.
We're talking about fucking seasoning.
Seasoning's important, dude. What do you want? What do you want to eat? Do you want to just eat, like, chicken that's been thrown on a grill for the rest of your life?
I don't get the chicken, thank you. I get barbacoa.
Oh, wow.
What's barbacoa?
I don't know.
What the fuck you mean you don't know what barbacoa is?
I'm telling you right now, I don't know.
You order it and you've never been curious? Like, I wonder what I've been ordering this whole time.
I ordered it once on accident on the app, and I was like, oh, shit. But I ate it, and I was like, this tastes pretty good.
So now you just go and get barbacoa every time?
And if they, gun to my head, just said, what animal does this come from, I would be a 50-50 shot in the dark between pig and cow.
Okay, barbecue is a way to cook meat.
Well, shit, then I really have no idea.
It's, yeah,
see, you're just shoulder. Eating some kind of, like, beef or something.
Could it's be like pigeon, frog. Yeah. Could be fucking squab. I don't care. Tastes good.
Horse.
Even better. I hate horses.
What's the weirdest food you guys would eat? Like, I mean, like, weirdest, like, meat.
I'm not really one to eat exotic meats, so.
If, like, somebody put, like, a kangaroo steak in front of you, no. Would you eat that?
No.
No?
Wouldn't even be remotely interested.
No, probably not.
Are you guys chicken tender eaters?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I'm not, no.
Almost exclusively chicken tenders.
Dang, dude. It's unfortunate.
Why is that unfortunate?
Because chicken tenders are just like, there's so many other better things.
Because I think I'd be more inclined to eat like an insect, like some kind of rare insect, like from some other country, than I would be to eat like an ostrich steak.
What about like an ostrich egg?
No.
No?
I would eat an ostrich egg. I would try that.
I would try it because it looks so fucking cool. Like, it's huge. I'm really interested in them.
I would try it. I would try a duck egg. That's not very exotic, but...
I love duck. Duck is incredible.
I might try a shark fillet, maybe.
Actually, I can tell you, like, the most, like, obscure meat that I've had. And it's kind of where I would, like, draw the line. Like, I don't want anything other than this. And I had a rack of barbacoas.
Lamb?
Yeah, and I was like, even this was like, I don't feel great about eating this, so.
Hmm.
What if it was like an animal you hated?
I hate horses, but I don't really want to eat them.
I thought the most exotic meat you were going to say was Chipotle's barbacoa.
It could be, because I don't know what it is, but.
Well, you know.
I'm pretty sure that, like. All land that you eat is like baby lamb.
Snail.
How's that?
Delicious.
Would you eat lizard?
Especially garlic butter. Yeah, but I might eat lizard.
Like those little lizards that are running around the ground of Florida. If I just snatched one of those up, threw it over a fire on a spit
that
roast.
That seems way more bony than I'd want. I'd try a snake.
Snake, I'd have a hard time with.
Why?
I don't know. Snakes are weird to me. Like, if it doesn't have legs, I don't want it.
But it's not like you have to catch the snake yourself and prepare. It's just a snake.
I mean, steak is a pretty, like, was it, like, a fucking anaconda? Am I eating an anaconda?
Yeah, you need a snake steak.
Depending on who it was prepared by, I'd probably try it. Like, if it was, like, I don't know, Emeril Lagasse or, like, Gordon Ramsay put it in front of me, I'd give it a try.
If Salt Bae cooked it, I would eat it.
He just fucking, like, on his, like, enjoy your anaconda. How many steaks could you get from an anaconda? Fucking ton, I bet.
I don't think you would get steak from an anaconda, Chris.
I mean, like, they have to have a good amount of meat on their bones. Have you seen the thickest part of their bodies? It's huge.
Yeah, you'd, like, rip the bone out, so it'd be, like, hollow in the middle, and you get a nice little piece of meat.
Yeah.
So, Chris, keep this in mind. Ready? Yeah. Most meat that is served when you order lamb is from a lamb that's less than a year old.
I've had lamb one time. I was actually with you first time I had lamb at Patty Murphy's.
Yeah, that's where I had lamb, too.
That's where it's most succulent, when they're just young like that.
Their meat's not too worked, so it's super tender.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
It's like veal.
And it said, like most high-end lamb is from lamb that are 6 to 10 weeks old.
Six to ten weeks?
That's the good stuff.
You're just slaughtering baby lambs so that you can have a fancy dinner.
I guess I just don't understand what, like... When it comes to that, like, I don't understand what the really difference between, like, what's your moral conundrum with eating a baby lamb compared to a regular lamb? Like, a full-grown lamb. Like, would you do you have a conundrum with eating baby cows compared to full grown cows?
I mean, I don't know how to answer this. I think you'd have to talk to someone that is more strongly founded in their beliefs.
Like, call up PETA and be like, "Yo, what's the like? What's wrong with eating baby cows?"
I think it's more just that, like, it's somewhat more barbaric.
But what if that baby cow's a dick?
Yeah, what if that's he, like, true. Bit, like, was biting all the other baby cows on the farm?
Well, then you are free reign to bite it, but...
bite it with a nice little side of A1 steak sauce?
That was pretty fucking good, dude. That was a smart one. Yeah, oh, that's funny.
What if... It's the same thing. Like, what if that Parkland survivor kid whose dad thinks he's lying? Like, what if that kid's just an asshole? Like, that's why his dad believes it. Like, yeah, my kid's a piece of shit. He'd get wrapped up in this.
What if every time he says it? Bit of an
extreme comparison, but are we eating the Parkland kid?
Let's say, like, at what point...
No.
At what point do you think that, like, human meat becomes a rare delicacy?
What point?
Like, how far off are we from that?
We're pretty fucking far, dude.
You think so?
Oh, gosh, yeah. The amount of cows that we produce in order to... More than 100 years? Oh, my gosh.
No, Chris. Bro, read the climate stuff. God.
There's no...
Get out from your rock.
There's no... Okay, all I'm saying is that people can literally go find cuts of meat in the fucking garbage. Now. Yeah, people can go find cuts of meat at the grocery store, and they have no problem getting them.
Within the last like year and a half, I think you have seen this, like, how frail and feeble the meat industry actually is.
People have seen how frail our entire system is, but that doesn't mean that it's going to stop anytime soon.
What's the grace period between the last steak on Earth and eating people? What do you think the gap between that is?
6 weeks max.
You think it's 6 weeks?
Okay, that seems a bit short, Chris.
I don't know. I think Zach's onto something here. Like, between the first person eating human and the last person eating that steak?
Like, you're someone, there's no more meat left on the planet. And it's either, like, you go full, just you can only survive on vegetables, or you start eating people. I think we're only 6 weeks away before someone takes the bite of the first person.
So you're telling me that, like between the first individual to eat the meat, or are you talking about, like, on the average person's basis?
No. The first person that takes a bite out of a human being that they have cooked, we're only about 6 weeks away.
6 weeks doesn't seem that far off.
From the last cow?
It wouldn't be like they're raising these people to be eaten, or they killed somebody specifically to eat them. That would come later.
That's probably like a year in.
That's what I'm saying. It would be somebody who just died, and somebody looked at him and was like,
what?
Fuck that. That
I would eat a year died.
A year from the last cow to farming people to eat? That's
Not farming people. So, like, six weeks after somebody eats the last steak, to that person who looks at the person who just got hit by a car, and they're like, that leg would taste so good with garlic salt.
Dude, I don't think so.
A little bit of black pepper.
Mm-hmm. Throw that
garlic, dude. Black garlic on that side.
Cut off the hunk on that side and throw in a cast iron pan. Sear it for 2 minutes each side. Throw in the oven with a little bit of garlic butter and herbs.
Okay, you could be 6 weeks away from fucking a dead corpse, but I don't think you're 6 weeks away from, like, eating it.
I think I'd eat one before I did anything else to it.
Yeah, if you're not. Taking meat off of the dead corpse before you fuck it, you're just having lost opportunities there.
I think you have way too strong of an opinion of humanity. I think we collapse in, like, no time.
I think we as a people are weak.
We are weak.
We are so weak, dude. If our system falls, we fall.
I would just start eating people as, like, a power stance. Like, the weak should fear the strong.
What, I'm willing to bet Zach would not eat human.
I'd do it right now.
No, you wouldn't.
You would not eat a horse, but you would eat a human.
What the fuck do I want to eat a horse for?
Why do you want to eat a human? Animal? Useless? They're one of the most useful animals. Like, if there was an animal I had to choose to, like, raise and farm for purpose other than, like, the normal ones that are on a farm, like cow, sheep, goat, chicken, shit like that, I'm choosing a horse. Most
serve zero purpose other than food.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. They have a use. Horses, too, have a use. You can ride them. You can race them. You can fucking use them as workhorses. Worse, in a pinch, you can eat them.
I don't want them.
And you can sell their semen for, like, thousands of dollars if they're a good one.
Is that true?
That sounds like a lucrative market.
It is, dude. All you have to do is jerk off a horse and you've made, like, $3,000.
Wow.
People will buy that, like, this, to have it shipped to them.
I should remember that next time the Kentucky Derby's in town.
You mean in Kentucky?
Just go to the Kentucky Derby and start jerking off horses.
I bet people would call the police to have you arrested for jerking off their horse. Not because it's wrong to jerk off a horse for bestiality purposes, but because you're stealing money from them because the semen is worth so much.
Well, with that, let's talk Suicide Squad.
That's a pretty good transition.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty effortless. So written and directed by James Gunn. Stars Margot Robbie, Idris Elba, John Cena, slew of others. Plot synopsis is supervillains Harley Quinn, Bloodsport, Peacemaker, and a collection of nutty cons at Belarev Prison join the super secret, super shady Task Force X as they are dropped off at the remote enemy-infused island of Corto Maltese. What did you guys think of the Suicide Squad?
Can I say one thing about the horse semen again?
Nope, no. We're moving on.
This is a ridiculous number, though.
Okay.
Is it over $1 million?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
Somebody said that they got 80 milliliters of horse semen from a thoroughbred, and it was worth $100,000.
That's not more than a million.
But hold on. A gallon is worth $4.7 million.
How is that not... How has no one made that heist movie yet? Ocean's 11, but with horse semen. I'm going to write the worst version of that just so that I can copyright it so that no one else can have it.
That's fucking funny.
Stealing horse semen.
I bet George Clooney would come back for that.
Ocean's 14.
We're just remake Ocean's 11, but replace the line where they're like, he got stuck stealing Easter Island heads. Just be like, he got stuck stealing American Pharaoh's jizz.
I don't think George Clooney would say jizz, Chris. He's a distinguished man.
You're right.
He'd say jazz.
Well, if we're talking about Suicide Squad, which apparently we are. I would say the first question that I would have to ask is this a sequel? Is this a reboot? Or is this just some standalone thing that doesn't even matter?
Reboot.
It's a reboot.
I think so.
Okay, so then my number one critique is reusing people from the other film this film supposedly has nothing to do with and causing this confusion.
I would say it's a sequel.
You mean the as in like using Harley Quinn?
Using Margot Robbie, using Viola Davis. Like, get these people out of here so that these kinds of questions are not in your head.
Well, I guess since the Suicide Squad is just made up of expendable villains, I suppose
Same guy that plays Rick Flag, same guy that plays Jai Courtney's in the other movie too. Like,
okay, maybe it is a sequel then.
Like a standalone sequel, though.
I thought it was like a reboot, them trying to correct the franchise since nobody was really that hot on the first Suicide Squad.
But the first Suicide Squad wasn't even a movie that anyone was asking for. And a sequel to that movie is also something that nobody was asking for.
Yeah, so I wouldn't say it. That's why I'm not saying it's a sequel.
Let's see what the internet has to say. Well, it
is a sequel. Like a standalone sequel. They made how much money did they make off of the first one?
Off of the first one?
Because that's a reason to make a sequel.
Even okay. The first one grossed $746 million.
That's a reason to make a sequel right there.
Yeah, I guess Joe, okay. So, well, this Google search says Suicide Squad acts just as much as a rebranding as it is a sequel. So, it is a standalone sequel.
Okay. I guess.
But it seems like these will be the characters that they want to bring forward and nothing from the other ones.
I hope not. Considering they killed off one of the repeat characters.
Now, I don't really remember much from the Suicide Squad that came out in 2016. Maybe you guys do, maybe you don't. I don't really remember there being any obvious callbacks to the 2016 one. Aside from there being, I guess, similar characters, I don't remember call them saying anything or.
No, I don't think so.
Just them recognizing each other from past missions is really the only callback.
Yeah, because it definitely did get the impression that this was an established thing now.
Yeah. But past that, it was its own thing.
Yeah.
I guess I'll start by saying that I prefer the James Gunn version over the David Ayer version.
I will agree with you.
With an asterisk, I would say, which is that I think I like the darker, grittier tone of the David Ayer film. Just not so much the execution. Whereas I also don't think he's that great of a director. Whereas I think James Gunn has some very good visual flair in this movie. But I will say probably my biggest problem is that this just feels like a bloodier Marvel movie where they say fuck a lot.
I was definitely giving heavy Guardians of the Galaxy vibes, but I think that's just the game. I think that's the James Gunn effect. I think that's just how he writes. Especially when he's writing his humor.
I don't think the movie's very funny.
No, I thought the humor was on the worst part. But I will say that because it was James Gunn, I did think that a lot of the action sequences were a lot of fun. Those are probably the highlights for me, honestly.
I will say that I didn't care for some of the final action sequence stuff. A lot of that just felt it just felt super fake, so I wasn't that interested in it. But it's also probably part of the fact that we've seen 27 of these, where they all kind of end in a similar fashion, which is big fight with monster at the end. So at this point, it's probably not even James Gunn's fault. I don't think there's anything he could have done that would have made the last fight anything special. Although I liked Harley Quinn diving into the eye of Bizarro and just being in there with the rats for a moment. That was kind of cool. But other than that, the end fight is very, very generic.
Yeah, and I thought the most interesting part, not to jump all the way to the end here, but I thought one of the more interesting things was more of the internal stuff between them and some people being hired to protect this government secret and some being hired to carry it, to prevent it. I thought that was way more interesting than just a giant Bizarro fight.
I think Bizarro is an interesting choice of villain. He's definitely a deep cut. He's just your villain, but I like it.
But yeah, I had very little expectations going into this. Didn't even necessarily care to see it, but when we needed something to review, it seemed an obvious choice, and I guess like, I kind of enjoyed myself, honestly. I think that there's a good opening to it. I liked the opening credits quite a bit. I liked the opening battles scene quite a bit, and
I would say like maybe it's just because of COVID and like this is the second summer now where you haven't been like bombarded with like 10 to 12 really big action movies that all kind of feel the same. Whereas like this has, you've had a bit of a break from that, and now you come into this and like you just, I don't know, I was able to have more fun with it because I've not been bombarded with these for the last 3 months.
And so, being able to watch it on my couch has been a huge bonus.
I will say, I understand that this is not how marketing works, but I think this movie works so much better if you did not know that Idris Elba or John Cena was in it, and you have these initial guys that you think they're building up to be the Suicide Squad, and then everything happens, and it's like, well, what the fuck? And then you cut into like the Idris Elba, like John Cena aspect of the movie.
I can't disagree, that'd be cool, but yeah, you could not market that. There's no way.
I feel like they marketed Pete Davidson pretty hardcore with this movie.
Sure, he's pretty hot right now, Chris.
Yeah, but he was in there for like, how long? 10 minutes?
Oh, okay, total, when you break it down, like, total, yeah. When you break it down, how much screen time does Margot Robbie actually have? Not that much. Yeah,
but that's different, which that's a different thing that I have a problem with, is like, I hate that she has her own storyline for like 3/4 of the movie. Like, I'm not interested in that. I mean, interested.
She doesn't. It's not like...
She does, though. Like, they tie her in at the end with the original group, but then I feel like they're just like, oh, we have this new crew that you need to get to know, and then we have Margot Robbie as she navigates the other thing throughout her own path to meet up with this other group of people.
But I mean, I guess it makes sense that they kind of have these two standalone things going, seeing as how that seems to be like what people really like about Margot Robbie's portrayal of Harley Quinn.
I think they just, why don't they just like, I think they like her as Harley Quinn. I don't necessarily think they need to see that as the entirety of their experience with her. Not their entirety, but like majority of their experience with her being solo.
I also kind of think it makes sense to split them up, just given the personalities of everybody.
When she's breaking free out of that, wherever she is, like, and it's like all the flowers and like with the javelin and like she's slicing people's throat and it's like flowers exploding, like, I thought that was amazing.
Not saying the sequence was bad. Definitely wasn't, but I would have rather have gone without that.
There's a lot of things in this movie that are like just incredibly on the nose for me. They're just like on a different day, right? Like, if it's not like, if I'm not waking up the day after my birthday, like having a nice day, like I could see myself fucking hating this movie. And it's like, it's literally just like the mood you catch me in when I sit down to watch it. Like, the guy that shoots polka dots out of his hand is just really something I could see myself hating. And like, all the stupid dialogue and like, John Cena's a fucking terrible actor. And like, I hate that people are forcing him into movies because he's so bad.
Yeah, but he had a couple funny lines.
And it's so evident, like, when he stands across from Idris Elba, who's a very talented actor, and like they share the screen and it's like, wow, John Cena really is terrible.
Chris, you liked the Beach Full of Dicks joke, didn't you?
No, it wasn't that one. It was the starfish butthole thing. I thought that was pretty funny.
Okay, I mean, the best performance in the movie is Sylvester Stallone.
No fucking way. Yeah, that's like saying the best part of Guardians of the Galaxy is Groot.
He's my favorite character in this movie.
You're in on King Shark?
I loved it.
I like some of the scenes with him where he like rips the guy in half and eats the other person whole. I like that.
I'm quite a fan of the violence in the movie. Like, there's a lot of like, there's a lot of cheesiness to it, like a lot of like just excessive bloodshed and stuff that really works.
I had wished they had utilized the guy whose arms could detach from his body and soar through the air, slap people.
I thought that looked terrible.
I wish they could have utilized that a little bit more.
It was fucking hilarious, though. Like, I was expecting him to be so much cooler than he actually was, and then he just starts smacking the shit out of these guys.
Chris, did you laugh when, at the end, when the polka dot guy is too afraid to fight the giant starfish, so he says, pretend it's your mother, and then it's a giant version of his mother?
Dude, I literally looked at Alyssa, and I was like, because we saw this, like, a week before we came up with this idea, and we went to the theaters to see it. But I looked at Alyssa, and I was like, dude, that starfish is going to be his mom.
As much as I don't like that character, like, I loved that idea of, like, everyone's my mom. And then, it, like, you cut to the group, and there's just, like, seven of these moms just, like, all standing together.
When he was, when he was like, in the club dancing with all those people, and they all turned out to be his mom. That was hilarious.
I mean, I love the scene where they're, like, going in, like, stealthily killing this entire camp of people, and then, like, come to find out they actually like aren't the enemy.
I like that scene too, except at the end when it's like they've just murdered this entire squadron for this woman, but then she's still like, okay, I'm gonna help you guys. Why?
I think probably the only joke that landed for me in the movie is when is like the Milton bit where there was like, oh, they shot Milton. Like,
oh yeah,
Milton's still here? Then I was like, who's Milton?
I did like that. And then I did kind of laugh at the end where her and Idris Elba have a moment, and then she calls him Milton, and he's like, my name's not Milton. She's like, we had a whole conversation about how your name's Milton.
Oh, fucking gosh.
Whoa, what was that?
Jesus.
Alyssa shut the lights off on me for a second.
Oh. Now, Chris, we were talking before you'd come back. Did you know there was a Peacemaker spinoff show coming?
We looked it up afterwards. That was what the after credit was, right?
Yeah, at the very end.
Yeah, we didn't stay for that.
Of anything from this movie, even though, like, I wish it was anyone but John Cena playing him, Peacemaker, I think, is by far, like, the most interesting character. And it's like, we have to keep the peace no matter what the cost is. And it's like, if it means killing men, women, and children, then yeah, I'm going to do it. And I think that is a very interesting concept.
I mean, I don't think John Cena is that terrible as Peacemaker. I mean, like, I feel like that character doesn't really need a lot. And he's, I don't know, I think he's fine for that role.
It's just his delivery of, like, jokes. When he has to be funny, it was brutal.
I'd rather see John Cena as Peacemaker than try to see him in a movie like Manchester by the Sea.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying, like, he's in this movie, he's in Fast 9, like...
Those seem like perfect roles for him.
He apologized to the Chinese community for acknowledging Taiwan as a country in perfect Mandarin. You guys seen that video?
No.
So China does not recognize Taiwan as being a country. And he referred to Taiwan as a country. And because China is the biggest market for movies like Fast and the Furious 9, he gave a public statement apologizing for calling Taiwan a country. And he did it in perfect Mandarin.
There you go. See, this guy is a good actor, Zach.
You think that's all he knows in Mandarin? It's just that one, those one phrases?
No, apparently Vince McMahon used to teach like all the wrestlers Mandarin because he knew that it was big in China, so they could speak it when they like were over there.
Oh my fucking gosh, that's interesting. Wild. The stuff we don't know about the WWE, man.
Vince McMahon's a genius. That's what you don't know.
I am surprised that Idris Elba, they got Idris Elba to play in this.
I mean,
there's a lot of people do for the almighty paycheck.
He plays a character that looks and feels almost exactly like the Will Smith character from the last movie. to and the names are similar, in which they could actually be the same character.
Bloodsport, Deadshot.
But their demeanor and like how they act is almost exactly the same.
I love the costume of Bloodsport. Like that, like that tactical suit that he wears.
Yeah.
I think it looks sick. And I can't lie, it's kind of cheesy, but I can't help but like it. It's the scene where, like, so earlier there's a callback to how John Cena uses smaller bullets, and at the end, there's the shot where Bloodsport shoots the bullet and it goes through Peacemaker's bullets and shoots him, and then he's like, smaller bullets. I did kind of like that.
I like the scene where Idris Elba has to pet the rat at the end. Great scene. Great character moment.
I had enough of those fucking rats.
Dude, this is the first movie in a long time that's made me like squeamish because I hate rats.
Mm. Yeah, that scene where they're all like piling up over one another and like climbing up this bizarro, I was like, whoa!
Can anyone confirm that Ratcatcher 2's daughter is, her father is played by Taika Waititi?
It was Taika Waititi.
Okay, it looks a lot like him. I was like, maybe it's not.
No, that's definitely him.
And can anyone confirm that he died of a heroin overdose?
Yes.
Okay.
What? He died of heroin? Yes.
Well, she refers to it as, like, his problems or whatever, but, like, when she's saying that, he has, like, something, like, strapped around his arm as if you were, like, injecting yourself.
Oh. It seems safe to imply he had a heroin overdose.
Interesting. I didn't catch that.
Yep. Is that really a character of Ratcatcher?
Yeah.
Interesting. I guess I'm going to assume all of these are characters, right? Like, no one's made up.
But I just want to know, like...
I cannot confirm about the polka dot guy.
What about Weasel?
Oh, fucking hope so. That was the funniest part of the entire fucking movie.
Weasel's a villain?
He's not a... He is, like, someone that's mentioned.
But he's actually from the comic books.
Yeah.
Okay, but we can't confirm Polka Dot Guy?
I'm trying to confirm Polka Dot Guy.
So does Weasel just introduced for the Suicide Squad comics, or is he someone else's villain?
He is strictly for Suicide Squad.
Okay.
I was going to say, who's villain? Like, who's that like low on the totem pole within Marvel that Weasel is their villain?
Well, this is DC, Chris.
Oh, fucking whatever, dude. I don't care.
This is what's underneath the streets of Gotham. Just giant weasels.
Batman, who can take on the Joker and the fucking Riddler both at the same time. And the fucking Iceman. But he has a difficult time with Weasel.
Yeah, Weasel, that trips him up. Well,
apparently, the Polka Dot Man is a real DC character.
Okay, there you go. I kind of like the look of.
I mean, I know that guy. Savant is. I know Captain Boomerang is. Blackguard is.
Captain Boomerang is a fucking Flash. There, Flash's villain, right?
Which one?
Captain Boomerang.
That's a good question. I'm not sure.
Pretty sure he's the Flash's.
We can look it up, Captain. Boomerang.
He could be. I don't think so, though.
Yep, enemy of both Barry Allen and Wally West versions of the Flash. Mm. Okay, I gotta know who Weasel is. Oh. Okay, he was a student at Stanford. Okay. Oh, it is a Batman villain.
My fucking gosh, that's ridiculous. There's no other person it could be.
Let's see. A student at Stanford, brilliant but social outcast, which earned him the social outcast with a thin frame and narrow features, which earned him the nickname Weasel. He was a target of bullying. The constant torment drove him to become a sociopath and a serial killer. Let's see.
He's so stupid. Look at this fucking guy.
I will say, the one thing that, like, kind of bothers me is that there's nothing in this movie other than that the fact that you know that they are bad guys that would lead you to believe that they are bad guys.
Well, that's all you really need, because they're technically supposed to be the good guys too.
But they're not really good guys.
Well, they're not good guys, but they're supposed to be.
They're doing it to get 10 years off their sentence. Like, that is the only reason they're doing it.
Yeah, but you're not going to root for them if they're doing bad things.
But it also, like, there's no point in this movie. There should have been a point in which, like, you're like, oh yeah, I forgot. Like, these are bad guys. But there's nothing. Like, they're literally portrayed as heroes almost from the start of the movie.
Except for when they're in prison.
Right.
And they're shown in prison. And that dude kills the bird with the ball.
Well, yeah, but he gets his comeuppance pretty quickly.
Yeah, but I think it's pretty well established
that these
people are bad people.
Any of the main characters, like, they don't do anything quote-unquote bad in the whole movie.
Except for kill an entire army of fucking rebels.
Unknowingly.
Still does it. That's just because
the actions by John Cena, you could argue, like, you could argue either side of that.
No, I don't think you could.
Yeah, I hear you.
Like, if they just, like, left at the end of the movie and they were like, hey, fuck this city, and just left, like, I would have been like, oh. Because they're bad guys. They don't care. But no, they have to do the right thing.
Because they're
just
good
guys. Just true. Arguably, they would never do.
Exactly.
But they're good guys.
But they're not, Chris. They're murderers.
Yes, but in this movie, they're the good guys. They have to be the good guys for the movie to work.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
You don't need a good guy for the movie to work.
You don't, okay. You don't need a good guy for the movie to work. You do have to have a good guy for the story to come to completion.
No, you don't.
For the intended story to come to completion, yes, you do.
Are you saying in general, or are you saying for this movie?
For this movie.
No, you don't. There is a problem that arises. They solve said problem. Movie can end.
No, because they haven't solved...
It's a very basic structure of story.
Okay, let's put it this way. Are you satisfied with them leaving the island with that starfish bitch taking over the entire place?
I thought it would have been a very interesting turn of events, and I would have been fine with it ending right there.
Okay, do you think the average viewer would have been satisfied with that? Which they're not making a movie for you. They're making it for the average viewer. The people who are actually willing to pay to go see
Suicide Squad 2. So I pay for this movie.
Yeah. You Zach, pay. Come on. No, put your studio hat on.
You were lucky. You were lucky that this was put on HBO. You didn't get HBO so you could watch Suicide Squad 2. People will pay to go to the theater to see this movie.
The big deal that Warner Brothers, that HBO paid Warner Brothers for access to these movies is because I pay HBO every month, all right? So yes, yeah. I did pay to see this movie.
Okay, fine. I'm not arguing whether you paid to see the movie or not. I'm just saying, do you think it was their intended purpose for when they made this movie to say, guys, I don't think we should have them attack the starfish. Zach wouldn't really want that.
But what I'm saying is, like, that your argument is ultimately the problem, which is, like, these people are bad guys. They are selfish. And they don't care about other people. So in what universe do they agree to help all these people that they don't know?
Who's to say they don't care about other people?
That's what they do.
Who's to say that they don't care about other people? The fact that they're bad guys.
So bad people can care about people.
Chris, this is clearly not what the fucking movie is trying to get at.
What do you mean? Okay, the movie is clearly
The movie is not some, like, complex...
No, you know what the movie's not trying to get at? The movie's not trying to get at the fact that these are bad people.
We're going to take 2 hours and really going to try to deconstruct the human psyche about how bad people can actually be good people. No. The movie is about hired mercenaries to do a job.
Mm-hmm. Peacemaker cares about people. Therefore, he is trying to keep the peace.
Okay, but he's dead.
Yes, but he's doing bad things so that he can do good things for people.
Well, I guess that would depend on your definition of a bad thing and a good thing.
Okay. I completely understand, which is why I don't understand why you have a problem with them treating them as if these are the good guys when they're supposed to be doing the good thing.
My problem is that, okay, so first of all, like, it's a setup from the beginning. So they're not really doing a good thing. They are covering up for the government, which is a bad thing.
Yes.
So they're being hired to do a bad thing. That's being spun as a good thing.
Yes. That's what I was saying, like, them against each other is something that could work, because then it's like they're doing the right thing by, or they could be doing the right thing, and then it's all in an effort to, like, for their own personal gain. So it could be seen as the right thing, but there's, like, hidden motives. Whereas fighting Bizarro is completely doing the right thing.
It's a purely good action that they're not getting anything out of.
Except for freedom.
And they're supposed, no, they only have freedom because they have the hard drive. They would have that whether or not Bizarro existed or not.
Okay. So these people go and they destroy this, but is it called Bizarro? Is that the name of the starfish?
Yes.
Okay. So they kill Bizarro. Why are you saying that it is bad in this movie that they go and kill the starfish?
Because it's an inherently good act done by bad people.
So and why can't bad people do good things?
You're missing the entire fucking point, which is that there's nothing in this movie that leads you to believe that they are bad.
Except for the fact that they are villains who are in jail.
But we don't see them do anything bad in jail. No, you're saying that there's only bad people in jail? There can't be good people in jail?
No, I'm saying that you hear that this
dude shot... What if Idris Elba's character is a nonviolent drug offender? He's not a bad guy.
Except he's not, because you listen to them say that he put a kryptonite bullet into Superman's chest. So it's clearly established that Superman being the epitome of good.
In this universe, we cannot even agree that Superman's a good guy.
Why is he not a good guy?
Because the Zack Snyder films have built him up to be maybe he's not a good guy. Maybe he's a too powerful of a being to exist.
That doesn't make him not a good guy.
Good.
So power equates to bad people? To bad?
Probably, yeah, usually, yes.
I mean, maybe in humans, but he's not human. So who's to say that Superman is... Like, some people can handle power, some people can't.
The only point that I'm trying to make is that without them telling you that they are bad guys...
Which they did.
Most character traits are shown through action.
Yes.
Without you being told... Remove the scenes in which you see them in prison, you would not know that these guys are bad guys.
Except for the fact that they literally have a competition when killing people.
In which they think they are killing the enemy.
Yes, so they're killing the enemy, but they were doing it not because they're trying to kill the enemy, because they're trying to compete with one another. You don't think that itself is a bad action? Let's say, they compete with each other
about killing orcs. They're good guys.
Yeah, but that's different, because it's very clear. Different. No, it is very much different, because the lines of good and bad are very defined in those movies.
I would say the lines between good and bad are very defined in this movie, because you never see them do anything bad.
Clearly not, because you have a topsy-turvy at the very end of what is good and what is bad. So the lines are not as defined, and you literally have a guy called Peacemaker that is trying to keep the peace, which is good, by doing bad things. So
the only point that I'm making is that
good and bad is clearly not defined in this movie.
The only point that I make is that without a scene in which you physically see them in fucking jail, you would not know that they were bad guys.
They're killing people. Because of competition. Batman, that's a bad act. People. What?
In the fucking Batman v Superman movie, Batman kills people. Batman a bad guy?
No, I'm not saying killing in itself is the bad thing that they're doing, but killing because of a competition is a bad thing.
Why they're killing, though. Like, did you even watch this fucking movie?
Yes.
They had orders to kill the people in that village. Viola Davis told them, don't leave anyone alive.
Okay. Did she?
Yeah.
I don't remember that part.
Because they think them Rick, to have because they a think, jolly good time.
Yeah, because you're supposed to believe that Rick Flag has been kidnapped by the enemy. So she says, you guys got to go rescue Flag. These guys are very dangerous. Don't leave anyone alive. So they don't. Mm-hmm.
I don't remember
only that. To learn that they weren't really bad guys, they were just the rebel fighters.
Conveniently doesn't remember that.
Okay, fine. I don't remember that genuinely.
So because of who they are, they make a competition at it, but they think that they're killing terrible people on orders from Viola Davis.
I thought it was just a big whoopsie-daisy.
No.
All right. I'll concede.
That's all I wanted.
Tell that's all you wanted. You look super satisfied with that result.
Will you guys be watching Peacemaker spinoff?
No.
I might.
Would you check out the pilot just to see what it's like and then maybe decide?
I'm just not interested in these TV shows. Like, I don't want to watch that. I don't want to watch, like, any of the Marvel TV shows. I don't care about these characters or these style of movie enough to watch a TV show like it.
Fair enough. I mean, I probably won't watch it either.
I mean, you care enough to put Infinity War in your top 50 movies of the decade.
Yeah, because it was. Doesn't mean that I like everything that's coming after that or before it.
I would have to go back and listen to the archives, but I don't think you really have given much negative reviews of any of these kinds of things.
Okay, here's what I will say. Even if I haven't given many negative reviews to what's come out in the past, I have seen so much of this, and I've been so bombarded with this kind of material that it is old news to me at this point and not anything I'm interested in. Does that satisfy you, Zach?
Hey, you can watch whatever you want. You can be interested in whatever you want. I'm just saying.
Okay. Yeah, I'm probably not going to watch it. I'm not interested in seeing it.
But you will see a Suicide Squad 2.
Yes. That was because it was the second time I've been to the theaters in a long time, and it was either that or Free Guy. And I think I made the right choice out of those two.
I am kind of curious to see what they'll do with the sequel. I'm curious.
I mean, he's dead. So, like,
who's gotta dead?
Be a prequel. Peacemaker?
Yeah, but Peacemaker doesn't have to be in it.
He's not dead. That's the whole part of the ending credit scene.
Oh, I didn't watch the ending credit scene.
That's how there's a spinoff series. He's alive.
I thought they would have been doing like a prequel or something.
Oh, no. That's the final scene before anything, before it officially ends, is them being brought into the hospital and they see that he's alive. And they're like, yeah, we need him to save the world. And that's how it ends.
Interesting.
I will say, I like a lot of, like, James Gunn's, like, well, I think he is a great director and not a great writer. I do like a lot of his visual touches, like showing the fight between Rick Flag and Peacemaker, like, through the reflection of the helmet, and, like, a lot of, like, the revolving camera work. And there's a lot of, like, long, like, the Harley Quinn thing where she's, like, getting people with the javelin and like the flowers and all that, like all that's like a single take. And I liked what he does with like writing like a Warner Brothers film, like in Savant's Blood in the Water, and like just things that he does like with words like within the screen, I thought worked really well.
Yeah, that's what I meant by I like the opening titles, like the way that they like incorporate some of the names and whatnot into like what's actually happening. Same thing with, like, I guess if you want to call them the chapter titles. Like, they incorporated that into the background, too.
No Harley Quinn nudity, which for a moment I thought we were going to get, but...
In what scene? Oh, the sex scene?
Yeah.
Bummer, man.
I like that scene, too. She's like, if she ever were to meet a guy with red flags, like she had to kill him. I know what you're saying. Like, why wouldn't you just run away? But it makes me honestly like interested to watch Birds of Prey. Like, maybe I would like it.
Have you not seen it?
I haven't seen Birds of Prey.
Wait, didn't we review it on the show?
No.
I don't think so.
We talked about how you bought it on Blu-ray or 4K.
I did buy it on 4K. Are you sure we didn't review it on the show?
Pretty positive.
We didn't.
Because this would have came out like just before things started shutting down.
Yeah, which is when I saw it, just before everything shut down. Huh, I could have swore we did, but maybe not. Anything else you guys want to say about Suicide Squad before we move on?
I'm good.
Nope.
3.5 for me.
I'm going to go with a light 4.
I'll go with a 3.5 too.
Let's move on. Anybody happen to catch the Spider-Man Far From Home trailer this week?
Don't watch trailers, so no.
Yes, I do.
What a hero. What do you think, Chris? You excited? You looking forward to it?
Contemplating
Chris is not interested in any of these movies anymore.
Not really. I mean, that's the thing, is I'm not really interested in it. Like, I don't really want to see it, but I feel like I should watch it.
Really? I always thought you'd be kind of excited.
I mean, I'm excited to see Tobey Maguire.
Yeah, I mean, I am curious to see if that all comes together.
Like, if that does come together, I would be excited for that.
I feel like it almost has to at this point. Like, if it doesn't, like, people are going to lose their shit.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they have confirmed one thing, which is Alfred Molina. I saw the still of Alfred Molina.
Yeah, he's in it. Alfred Molina's Doc Ock, and they had, like, a little Green Goblin explosive come out. So I'd like to see Willem Dafoe.
With Willem Dafoe. Yeah, his laugh is in the trailer.
Yeah, so I'd like to see that, which is – that's what's making me interested for this, is you have Sam Raimi's Spider-Man converging with this Spider-Man.
Oh, man, I so hope Dane DeHaan Green Goblin is in this.
That's the Green Goblin we get instead of Willem Dafoe. That would be disappointing.
Bring back the lizard from The Amazing Spider-Man.
I do kind of like the idea of, like, how they're, like, continuing it from Far From Home.
Wait, is Jamie Foxx confirmed to come back for this movie?
I'm not sure.
No idea.
Because I was curious at the end of Far From Home when, like, Peter Parker's identity was revealed. I was curious where they were going to go with that. And I kind of like what they're doing with it and, like, how they're planning to correct it. And that's what leads to the multiverse. Like, I could be on board with this.
I was told that by somebody who has watched the show that in order to understand this to a certain degree of certainty, you have to kind of watch Loki.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. Oh, my pizza's here.
Pizza. Pizza time.
You didn't watch Loki?
No, I'm not going to.
Apparently it's confirmed that Loki's bisexual in that show.
Cool, dude. I mean, that's good for him, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, if that's what you're into.
Yeah.
So be it.
I don't know, man.
About bisexual people?
No, not. That's not what I'm saying. Yeah, Jamie Foxx is confirmed.
Is he really?
That's what's telling me here.
As Electro?
Yep.
Oh my god.
Don't know
this
if he'll
have. Terrible.
I don't know how involved he'll be, but it looks like he is confirmed as Electro in this movie.
Yikes.
Dude, I specifically requested that my pizza get delivered at 8 p.m. so that we could keep recording.
Isn't it 7?
It is 7.
J.B. Smoove is in this movie. That's badass.
Dude, are they going to have a crossover also with Curb Your Enthusiasm?
I was wrong. Jamie Foxx is not confirmed.
God damn it.
I know, I lied. Hannibal Buress is back in this one.
I want the King Shark standalone movie.
I lied again. Jamie Foxx is there.
Will you pick?
Okay, I can't trust what you say. I just need to wait for it to come out.
Hold on IMDb, it says so is J.K. Simmons. as J. Okay, Jonah Jameson.
Well, J. Jonah Jameson was also in Far From Home.
Was he?
Yeah.
Where is that Spider-Man?
Right at the very end. It's like in the trees. It's like in the post-credit scene where Peter Parker's identity is revealed.
I have to watch the after end credit scene again.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm excited. I think it's going to be good. I wasn't crazy about Far From Home, but I think this one could be good.
You should watch it in a NyQuil-induced delirium. It's pretty good.
I could do that. I'd consider it.
Is that why you enjoyed it so much?
The last time I watched it, I was sick and sipping NyQuil and eating Chick-fil-A and milkshakes, so I thought it was great.
It's a fantastic combination.
Pour some NyQuil into your milkshake, just swirl it around.
Fucking gosh. Some cherry fucking flavored milkshake.
It's chocolate. I'm not a monster.
Oh, right, because mixing NyQuil with chocolate milkshake is so much better.
Just mix it in there, dude. You'll never even taste it. Yeah. Just a little capful here and there.
Go for some NyQuil right now, Pastor.
Actually, dude, if it's possible to OD on DayQuil or NyQuil, that's probably how I will die.
That's an interesting way to go.
Through one cold, I probably drink 2 bottles of DayQuil.
What?
Why? Why?
Because, like,
you can't handle the cold that much.
I hate being, like, congested, and so, like, I take some, and then, like, you know, you take some cold medicine, and you start feeling, like, a little bit better, and it's like, okay, yeah, I can do this. And then when I start, it's like, on the downhill from the DayQuil wearing off, I just slug a little bit more.
And just on my vault, rebuild maybe. It up.
Basically, it's how it seems like it.
If I was sick all the time, I would probably have a pretty bad, like, DayQuil tolerance.
Or addiction.
I don't think there's anything addictive in it.
The feeling, man.
It tastes terrible, so, like, I wouldn't come out addicted to that.
You think people like the taste of crack?
Yeah, no, they like the release.
The release, not the flavor. It's not like people are like.
Okay, first of all, what do you think is crack flavor? Especially like, delicious. It probably doesn't taste like anything.
It probably has a taste. It probably has a taste.
I bet it has a taste. At least good crack has a taste.
By definition, there is no good crack.
I would tell you plenty of guys who would disagree with you, Zach.
Because if all drugs were legal, like, would you try heroin, like, once?
Never. I would never try heroin. I don't like needles, so anything that involves a needle, I'm automatically out on.
You don't have to inject it.
I mean, how do you do heroin?
You could smoke it. Snort it. Yeah.
Snort. If I were to do drugs, like, all drugs were legal, and I'm not saying I would, but if I were, I would probably snort.
I think if the world was, like, going to end, right, if there was, like, something about, like, sun's going to explode tomorrow, we're all going to die horribly, I would go out on a heroin high. That sounds pretty blissful.
There's a book called Drug Use for Grownups by Dr. Carl Hart, and he's a research scientist at Columbia. And he talks in the book openly about, like, he does heroin, like, for fun.
Yeah, wasn't there was that, was it Columbia professor who admitted that he does heroin in his free time?
Yeah, it's this guy.
Unwind?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the okay, there you go.
He wrote a book called Drug Use for Grownups. He talks about, like, doing heroin.
Well, fuck, there you go. A doctor did it.
My gosh. Everything's great if it's medicinal.
Yeah,
I do believe there are medicinal purposes for heroin.
Are you sure about that? I don't think so.
Okay, look. I mean, I feel like there are.
I don't think so.
If it were the drill world was ending, I would probably stay away from heroin. I'd probably go on, like, a hallucinogenic or something. Like LSD or, like, something like that. I feel like that would make it a lot more interesting.
Why is it that every time I try to search about drugs, I always get, like, the national helpline number? Leave me alone.
It's probably because you're looking up drug uses frequently enough.
Yeah, Zach, also, who told you that heroin has medicinal uses? A heroin user?
I just assumed that, like, there's
this is my medicine, man.
I just assumed there might be something in there that could be useful to people.
Get off my back, man. It's my medicine.
Oh, my fucking gosh. You sure you're safe to, like, self-administer that? Yeah, man, I've done this, like, so many times, man.
I mean, it's made from morphine, so I guess it could be used as, like a something to dim pain.
Could be, but isn't.
It's just like Coke could be made to help you stay up, but it's not for that.
Yeah, instead they prefer Ritalin.
Exactly. Did you guys watch anything this week?
Not really.
I did some medicinal heroin.
Did you watch The Green Knight, Zach? Did you get around to it?
I did not watch The Green Knight. I was busy watching other things.
Like Elvira, Mistress of Evil?
I did watch Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, which is a great movie.
Is that a birthday watch?
But that's not what I'm here to talk about. I'm here to talk about A Quiet Place Part 2.
Oh, interesting.
Directed by John Krasinski.
Was that your birthday watch?
No. So...
Seems insulted I even asked.
So I am overly critical of A Quiet Place. I think it's a mediocre movie. I think A Quiet Place Part 2 has no reason to exist.
I kind of see that one coming.
Like, it's so stupid. There's nothing about, like, there's nothing exciting in this movie, like, at all. Like, there's, like, it's more of, like, an action-adventure movie than it is, like, a horror movie. Because I don't think it's, like, it's not scary. It's not even, like, it doesn't seem to even be attempting it. Like, the worst part, I would say, or, like the high, is it would be, like, in the very beginning, one of the kids, like, steps on a bear trap. And, like, Emily Blunt is, like, trying to keep him quiet, like, while he's in excruciating pain from stepping on a bear trap.
Okay.
And that's, like, that's the high right there. It's only lows from there.
That's the heroin high right there?
That's like, initial injection. Fall back in your seat. Everything after that is just the come down. And, like, so... Have either of you seen this?
No.
Well, I'm going to ruin it. There's no point watching it.
Okay, good.
So, the point of the movie is that the, so they find out, somehow, people find out that the creatures can't swim. And so, like, they keep broadcasting the song, like, Somewhere Beyond the Sea. As like a hint to go to an island that's conveniently located just offshore of where they happen to live.
Of course.
And like, yeah, hey, come to this island and you'll be safe here. And it's like, first of all, like, we're to assume that they can't swim. We're to assume that they don't speak English. They can't, like, why are you being cryptic about this? Like, why aren't you just broadcasting a message saying, come to this island, you will be safe?
Was it so that unfavorables don't show up to this island?
Wait, that could happen anyways. You think unfavorables are stupid enough to not figure that
out? Fair enough.
And so, like, at the end of The Quiet Place, right, like, Emily Blunt gives birth to a baby. They immediately, like, put this baby in some kind of, like, silent chambers, so they just don't even have to deal with it. And, like, it's just, like, there's just so many, like, conveniently placed plot devices to make it so that anything that could possibly create tension is dissolved. It doesn't even matter. It doesn't exist.
Like, it sounds like they had heard some criticism of the first one and tried to, like, correct it or explain it away.
It could be, yeah. Like, so the film opens with you, like, you get to see the initial invasion of these creatures.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, we got to put John Krasinski in there because everyone fucking loves John Krasinski for whatever reason now.
Mm-hmm.
The Office has been off air for fucking 10 years, but everyone loves John Krasinski right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, so you get to see the initial invasion, and then it goes from there, like, cuts to, like, almost immediately after the events of the first one. Like, it's not that far after. And I feel like it was, like, an interesting, like, oh, okay, like, Emily Blunt, like, they hear this message, and they're trying to get there, and, like, the tension comes from them trying to carry, like, a baby that's bound to cry and be noisy, but trying to make it mm-hmm. quiet throughout mm-hmm. their journey. You'd be wrong. It's like the kid, like, gets hurt, and so the deaf kid, like, goes out, like, on her own trying to look for help, and, like, they meet up with Cillian Murphy, who's, like, friends with John Krasinski, and they have to, Cillian Murphy goes after the kid, and, like, it becomes needlessly complicated, and it seems like this movie is purely designed as a bridge from points A to B. So, like, there's going to be a third one, and the third one seems like this is what their idea was, and they just needed a way to get there.
What do you think the third one is?
So it'll probably be something along the lines of, like, so now this place that they thought was safe is not safe, and so now they have to try and find them. They either have to defeat the creatures once and for all,
which, like, is very easy. It's so doable. There's such an easy solution to this.
Which is also, like, if you're broadcasting this sound of the fucking, like, song so that you can tell people where to come, why don't you just broadcast the sound, like, of that high pitch frequency?
That's what I'm saying. Because they don't like that. They stay away from that. There's so many good ways to at least avoid these like, aliens, but they utilize it 0% of the time.
Not to mention, like, okay, this might sound harsh, but it's true. Like, a movie in which you have to be quiet, in which you're always speaking, like, in sign language, is pretty fucking boring to watch. Like, just watching you sign the same shit over and over again, like, it's pretty boring. The script for this movie must be literally 10 pages.
I mean, they probably write out the dialogue in the script and then have them sign in the film.
Also, just, like, what a lucky fucking break this family got to have a deaf kid. So they just knew sign language right from the start. They didn't have to learn it.
Well, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, like, every other family would just be killed. So, of course, they would be the ones that survive in this,
but maybe, like,
in this world.
But maybe it's far more interesting to watch people try to adapt to that than to them to already have that, like, right off the bat. I guess. How are you going to learn to communicate in this world in which you can't make sound? Oh, well, don't worry. We have a deaf kid, so we've never had to talk ever to anyone.
Carry a whiteboard around your neck and just write shit down. Simple solution.
I don't know. Anything that could have been remotely interesting to explore is just immediately explained away with a convenient plot device. How are you going to deal with this baby? Easy. We're going to put him in this soundproof chamber that we're just going to forget about for large chunks of the movie.
Fuck. Oh, I can't wait to watch it. Can't wait to watch it.
What a piece of shit. What did that movie make at the box office?
No, I didn't.
Well, I mean, it is during COVID, so I can't have made that much.
Oh my god. It's made $296 million.
Wow, that's way more than I would have thought. The only thing I watched was The Green Knight, but I kind of want to hold off on that, because I think we should do a group review at some point.
That's why I'm not saying anything.
Want to do it next week, Candyman and Green Knight?
I'm fine with that.
Let's do it.
I can definitely watch it by then. Well, so now it's just me. Talk about Spiral from the Book of Saw.
Oh, yeah. I've been curious to hear about this.
Directed by Darren Lynn Boosman, who will only continue to work as long as they make Saw movies. It's weird, because, like, part of the joy of watching the other Saw movies is, like, you are basically just going into it being like, well, how are they going to kill people this time?
Mm-hmm.
And in this movie, like, it's really not about, like, the traps. And in fact, like, the story could still exist without Jigsaw, like, in general. And Chris Rock is very, like, hit or miss. And he's sometimes is like pretty good, and sometimes he's like borderline terrible. Like,
I have heard this.
Like, there are scenes where he like riffs with Samuel Jackson that are like, hey, that's pretty good, like that's pretty funny. And then there are other scenes where he's like trying to do like some dramatic work, and it's like, oh, yikes. There's one scene that sticks out that's absolutely amazing, which is like there's a scene that takes place.
You're laughing about it.
It takes place like it's supposed to take place like 10 years ago, and how they de-age Chris Rock is by giving him a mustache and a hat on backwards, and now he's naturally supposed to be younger. Just like some of the jokes are just like so like outdated and stupid, and like there's one scene where like his partner, who's like a fresh detective and young, is like, oh, you mind if I borrow your phone? Like, mine's dead. And he's like, yeah, just don't kill my battery watching Twilight. And it's like, fuck, dude. Like, no one's made jokes like that in forever.
How old is this script?
It's such an outdated reference.
And, like, I don't know. But he has, like, some good things, some good bits in it that just sound like he's doing stand-up. Like, there's one scene like where they're first inspecting, like, the murder. And they're like, he's telling his partner, who's like recently married, that's like, well, let's see how long that lasts. And I was like, what do you mean? It's like, here's the thing about women. Like, you can give them 2,000 Tuesdays, but the minute you miss one Saturday, it's fucking over. And he's just, he's basically just doing stand up. He's telling him, like women cheat during the daytime. He's like, I didn't even know Pilates didn't even fucking exist until like 2 days ago. And she's like, It's basically just Chris Rock being Chris Rock, and like that stuff was good. And then so Samuel L. Jackson plays his dad.
Oh, okay. I thought it was his partner in the movie.
And like they just have like a really like weird relationship. And it's like there's a scene where they're talking, and he was like, man, like we don't even talk anymore. And Chris Rock's like, we live in the same building. And you don't even acknowledge me. Like, I saw you the other day, and you nodded at me. Like, we're the only two black people in the mall. And he's like... So there's still stuff like that that's gold. But most of the movie sucks.
No good kills or nothing, really?
Not really. Like, most of it's, like, off-screen, or, like, you get, like, flashbacks of it. Nothing, like, in full.
So it's more of, like, a detective story than a Saw movie?
Kind of, yeah. It's like basically like the police has like a lot of corruption, and Chris Rock is like the only like clean cop, and like all the rest of them are just dirty.
Okay.
And so someone is like killing dirty cops, and they're just trying to figure out who.
Oh,
so like, okay. The first guy that gets killed, like, you know, he gave a lot of false testimonies on the stand, which put people away that didn't deserve it. And like one of the other ones, like, you know, he murdered someone in cold blood and like planted a gun to make it seem like he had pulled the gun first. And like, and then there's a twist at the end.
Twist, huh? Is it Chris Rock is the one doing it?
Chris Rock is not the killer.
Samuel Jackson is the killer.
That's the massive red herring. Because that all things point to Samuel Jackson. You're like, well, it's not him, so who else could it be?
Interesting.
partner.
Nailed it.
Damn. It's always the partner.
Yeah.
Didn't even see anything in the fucking movie.
The one thing, like, maybe it's this Darren Lynn Boosman's, like, style, but I hate it. Like, everything is so, like, overlit, and it's like he's afraid to have any darkness in the scene, like, at all. Like, you can see, like, every corner of every room, and it's like, it just looks so overlit and, like, with like, fake lighting that it just is, like, jarring to look at. It's almost like he's an advanced film at Bangor High School, and he's forced to make movies within the confines of the high school, and this is all he has to work with. So this is the best he could do.
Is the Saw aesthetic not like that, or is it way darker?
No, I mean, most of the movies are like that, but I don't think, I would never say, like, oh, you're interested in cinematography? You should watch Jigsaw.
Well, you may not say that. Best. You may not say that, but somebody definitely told this guy.
So he's also directed Saw 2, 3, and 4 along with Spiral.
Hmm.
Which, I mean, 2, I think 2 is pretty good.
2 is like one of the best ones.
It's pretty fucking ugly, but like it's a good one.
It's got the best idea. The detective's the worst, but whatever.
I also watched a movie for, actually, I think like both of you would probably like this. It's called The Ritual from 2017.
No, I've seen it.
Oh, well, did you like it?
Yeah, I kind of liked it. I remember the ending being pretty bizarre and definitely not what I had expected, but I didn't say that I hated it because it was unique and interesting.
So I watched it, and I went to log it, and apparently I had also already seen it, but I didn't remember anything about it. I will say, like, I like the idea of, like, your friend, like, they're walking through the woods and some crazy shit starts happening. It's very Blair Witch-esque, but, like, I think the main criticism I have is that it's not Blair Witch enough, where, like, they don't allow for anything to build. Like, crazy shit just kind of starts happening, like, right away.
Yeah, but I kind of liked, I don't know, I think I remember kind of liking that.
I mean, I loved, like, the ending with the creature. I thought the creature looks great.
Yeah, the creature was an interesting twist. And what I remember actually liking, what I liked, was the guy having that, like, traumatic flashbacks, but there being, like, a blend between him reliving it, but then still making it look like it was taking place in the forest.
Yeah, it's like the overhead lights come on, and, like, there's, like, the LED lights, and, like, the aisles, the floor is also, like, mossy.
Right, it's mossy and there's still, like, trees in the peripheral. Like, I remember liking that a lot and thinking that was a cool idea.
I liked, like, the dynamic, like, between the group of, like, one friend is there when the other one is killed, and it's like they all kind of don't think he did enough to help him, and there's sort of, like, that blame, but he's also experiencing that guilt of having been there when his friend was killed. And
is that sort of interesting? Yeah, kind of an interesting idea that wasn't, like, that guilt is what marked him, something like that, or his.
I don't think they ever explained why he was marked.
That had something to do with, like, the feelings that he was feeling about the whole thing, like, that trauma or whatever is what marked him.
I don't know, but I loved there was, like, that scene towards the end where that guy, like, is, like, envisioning his wife as, like, coming to him. And then, like, she puts her hands on his face, and it cuts, like, it's, like, the monster, like, has his hands, like, on his face, and it's, like,
mm-hmm.
Woods are a creepy place, Chris.
Are you sure?
They're all British, so I had to watch it with subtitles, because, like, people start yelling, and I'm, like, what are you saying?
Oh, my gosh, that's funny.
No, I liked it a lot.
You mean 4 stars? Pretty good.
I mean, it's not Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, but it's pretty good.
Are you going to talk about that at all?
Sure. Have either of you ever seen this?
No.
No, but I got it on the shelf next to me.
Wasn't that one that we were going to, you were trying to get reviewed for Halloween or something?
Yeah, that was one of the ones I threw out there. It's probably a horror comedy.
It is kind of like a horror comedy, yeah. So Elvira, so are you familiar with who Elvira is at all, Chris?
No.
So Elvira is like she was like a TV personality. She like is known for being like somewhat promiscuous and busty, to put it politely. And she would host a lot of like double features of like schlocky, cheesy horror movies. And like, so she basically is playing like that role, but she goes back to like this small town to claim money from her like great aunt's estate because she just passed away. And you know, like her car breaks down and she thinks the aunt's going to give her money, but she really just leaves her this house and this cookbook. And so she's now stuck in this small town for a little bit and just, you know, just the antics that happen. I would say it's definitely like more comedy than, there's nothing real, like really horrific in it, but it was just a fun time. She wears like the same outfit the entire movie. Just like skimpy black clothing with the wig.
And her busty boobs popping.
So there is like a lot of like close up shots, like just on her chest. Like they just like freeze for a moment. And like there's some pretty like decent one liners in it. Like there's a scene where she's like doing something and like bumps her head, and like the love interest of the movie is like, "How's your head?" And she goes, "Well, I've never had any complaints." And like just like stuff like that.
That's pretty funny.
That's good.
And then like she's like at a bar and like some creepy guy is like hitting on her, and he's like, "Kind of like come back to my like come outside, like I want to show you something." And she's like, "Sorry, I forgot my magnifying glass at home." And like
damn, Elvira with the zingers.
Classic.
One of the opening scenes is like she stops to get gas, and like she's like honking at the horn for like the gas station attendant to pump her gas, and he like holds up a sign that says self-service, and he like starts to smoke, and then he's like, "You know, those things will kill you." And like she doesn't put the gas thing away properly, so gas spills all over the ground, and he like throws a cigarette, and like the whole thing just explodes. There's this massive explosion. Well, okay, that guy died.
So she's committed murder. Nice.
Elvira is a murderer, yep. Maybe not murder, manslaughter, probably, is the charge there.
So it wasn't intentional?
I don't think so.
Nah.
I'll have to check it out. I got it over there. I've been, you know, one of the Alexa. Many.
So, like, the whole thing centers around this cookbook that her great-aunt, like, leaves her. And her great-aunt was a witch. And so these are not cookbook recipes. These are, like, spells. And so, like, she has, like, her friend over. And she's, like, making him dinner. And she's following the recipe. And it, like, comes out. She's like, "Well, it smells okay, but it looks terrible." But she grabs, like, a bag of Doritos and just, like, sits on it to crush it. And then, like, sprinkles the Doritos all over the top. But then, like, you know, because she followed one of these spells that are in the thing, like, this, like, monster pops out of her casserole and, like, just some good antics, that's all.
Of course.
Yeah, that does sound good.
I bet I'd have fun with it.
It's worth a poke.
The only thing I can say that I've been kind of starting to watch is that, you guys ever heard of the show The White Lotus?
No.
I know that it is a show.
It is an HBO show, and it's It's pretty good. It's basically just set at a resort called the White Lotus, and it just follows like three or four families or couples, and they're all sort of dealing with their own thing throughout the weekend. And I hear that it gets quite good and builds to some interesting drama. So I'm kind of curious to check it out. But the first two episodes are pretty good.
Cool.
I don't have a lot to report. I want to see the first two episodes, but it's definitely got my attention.
Got potential.
Yeah.
I guess the last thing I can mention is that I listened to an episode of Downton Abbey last week.
You listened to an episode?
So I was training my coworker how to close, and he's the one that likes to listen to TV shows that he's seen. So I listened to an entire episode of Downton Abbey.
Interesting.
I said, you enjoy this? Because there's so much drama. And I said, well, it is a drama television show, so if there wasn't any, I'd be a little disappointed.
That's funny.
I can safely say that I have zero interest in ever watching that show.
It's a bit slow to start, for sure.
I think it's probably slow through the whole thing.
Very slow.
I asked him how many people got murdered, and he was like, well, there's a war. And I said, that doesn't fucking count. It's not about the war.
Anything else anybody needs to quickly mention here?
That's it.
Nope.
So we're committing Candyman and the Green Knight next week?
Candyman, Green Knight.
Cool. I'm gonna try to rewatch The Green Knight. I definitely need to see it again. I really hope I don't have to pay $20 again to see it, because that would suck.
You had to pay $20 to go see that?
Well, yeah, because I rented it at home.
Oh, okay.
But maybe because I think it's not in the theaters anymore, and I was like, oh, I kind of want to see this. Like, I had the night free, so I rented it. But now I think it's out of the theaters though, so I probably would have to do it again.
I want to watch Stillwater.
Do you?
That Matt Damon like thriller.
You actually want to see that?
Kind of.
No way. There's no way you actually want to see that.
Is that directed by Clint Eastwood? It seems like it would be.
I don't think it is. Arthy. Yeah, that's right. It's the guy that did Spotlight.
Okay. Huh.
But I can agree that it looks like a movie that he would do.
This looks like a movie that you would be absolutely repulsed by.
What can I say? I like Matt Damon.
That is you've never established that before, ever.
Chris, you don't know me, right?
You like Matt Damon?
I do like Matt Damon. What's wrong with Matt Damon?
Nothing. He's in Good Will Hunting. He's great.
That's right. You love Matt Damon. Why don't you want to watch it?
I don't know, dude.
Fucking figure it out.
Young Matt Damon's different than old Matt Damon.
Yeah, old Matt Damon's better.
You could arguably, I guess.
Didn't people just try to cancel Matt Damon?
Yeah, because he was saying the F word, Zach. And that's not fuck, that's the other F word.
Yeah, didn't he just say that he used to say it and that he was wrong and he's going to stop saying it?
Yeah, but that was only, like, recently. His daughter, like, told him of his errors or something like that. And he was like, yeah. He's like, I was just using it up till a couple weeks ago.
Well, yeah, he's from Boston, so it's probably a little rough around the edges.
So him and Mark Wahlberg.
What's up with people and fucking...
I can never tell the difference between those guys anyways.
Mark Wahlberg, Ben Affleck, Matt Damon, they're all the same.
Casey Affleck, Bill Burr.
I don't even think there's anything different about them.
No.
Like if you're filming The King of Staten Island and, you know, instead of Bill Burr, like Ben Affleck shows up, I think you just roll with it. Like, who's going to notice? If you're filming Batman and Bill Burr shows up, you just roll with it. Who's going to notice?
I fucking love to see that so much.
Bill Burr as Batman?
Bill Burr as Batman would be ridiculous.
Okay, you can't have a redhead Batman. That's where I draw the line.
Okay. I guess you have a redhead Batman.
I'm going to shut it down so I can go eat the rest of it.
Got it.
Well, as always, thanks for challenging. Thanks for listening. Come back next week for our review of Candyman and Green Knight. And until next week, bye-bye.